Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Thanks so much for tuning in once again. You join myself, Jack Reeve, with Racing Post Sports, Mark Langdon and Dan Childs in the studio with Paddy Power's Brian McDonald to preview all of the weekend's footballing action. Hopefully, give you a good steer on the betting advice. Thanks for joining us. Gents, it's good to see you both. I'm very tired. You might see the bags under my eyes. But all for a good reason. I was at the Tottenham versus Norwich City FA Cup clash last night. And before we get into talking to the lads about Spurs, I do just want to mention, in the Racing Post dated Wednesday, the March 4th, 2020, a certain Dan Child did tip up Norwich City to qualify at 5-2. So Dan, well done on that. And it's a brilliant read every day. So please do pick up a copy. Why were you so confident on Norwich?
It's part of it is that I watch Norwich against Leicester, and they are a side I think that's probably a little bit unlucky to be as adrift as they are, a decent side. But I've got to admit, a lot of it is down to being a Spurs supporter and watching Spurs regularly. You know, since the injuries to Kane and Son, there's so little threat now up front. Everything's so disjointed. If you're going to make any progress when you've lost your two main attacking threats, you need to be tight at the back. And, you know, we're picking different personnel, different formations, it seems to be week to week. There's no stability there. And then to compound it, what I wasn't expecting is that he's gone and switched the goalkeeper as well. Yeah. and played Vorm instead of Gazzaniga. So, let's be honest, Norwich didn't even put their strongest team out. Top scorer, a team with Pukki on the bench, and still, I thought, just about deserved to go through, really. I thought, apart from the Spurs had a fast start and finished the 90 minutes well after Norwich equalised, maybe Norwich sat back, you know, and it Spurs seemed to be stung into action. But I thought for the bulk of the game, Norwich were the better side.
Brian, I saw, the prices last night, Norwich are quite sort of a decent price. Were you shocked at the result?
No, I definitely wasn't shocked. Tottenham, I think we were talking just before we went on air there with Dan. Tottenham have looked in serious disarray recently, especially with Son and Kane out up top. They haven't been themselves at the back. Norwich as well, they are bottom of the league. They're definitely, you know, probably one of the best bottom side teams, bottom of the table teams that we've seen in recent years. You know, they play great football. Their performances have been good this season, but their results just haven't gone their way yet. But definitely not a shock, no.
No, Mark, I mean, we often sort of associate Arsenal with having a fairly toxic atmosphere off the pitch. Not only did Spurs look slightly off, not at the races on the pitch, but we saw Eric Dier at the end. We're not overly sure with the circumstances there, but things not quite right at Spurs.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, the Champions League final appearance was supposed to be the springboard, to bigger and better things, and sort of, I suppose one further step along in the Pochettino reign. I think one of the big issues that Tottenham have got is that they weren't quite sure what the problem was when they sacked Pochettino. You know, they felt like it was, oh well, he's fallen out with the players, Maybe he had to an extent, so then maybe he did have to go, but then, you know, maybe he should have been backed in the summer to allow him to get rid of the players he didn't want and to bring in the ones that he did want. And then if you bring in Jose Mourinho, who plays a completely different style of football, I think you then got to back him and sort of, you know, if he wants to bring in a number 9 target man centre forward, for instance, then he has to be allowed that to play the football that he wants to play. I think you're coming back to the problems at Spurs probably went a lot deeper than just Pochettino. Yeah. This team, looks to have really run its course, and they haven't swiftly sort of been able to regenerate the team. And then the fans are, some of them don't want Mourinho in the first place. Some of them are having a pop at Daniel Levy. Some of them are at the players. So there's no kind of, you know, when it was like Arsene Wenger out at Arsenal, yeah, most people were focusing, right, it's time for Wenger to go. At the moment, the Spurs fans are having a go in a few different directions. So, you know, you're getting fans arguing with each other over whose fault it is and stuff like that. It's not a great, it's not a great atmosphere. I mean, last season when they the run tailed off, and let's not forget, like from about February onwards, their form has been like it has been for most of this season. It was because they'd had no pre-season, it's because Son had been away at internationals, it was because of the Champions League run, it was because they were playing at Wembley. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just this squad had gone and, and people hadn't realised it. But for me, the biggest negative that I've seen in recent times was the fact that Wolves were favourites to win at Spurs on Sunday. You know, the market there, I mean, it tells you a lot about what, you know, what's going on at Spurs and what's going on at Wolves. And so, you know, for Tottenham to be considered outsiders at home to Wolves shows how far they've fallen.
Yeah, I mean, we were chatting on Sunday over lunch and you were saying, like, it's strange as a Spurs fan to be going, God, Norwich play good football. Like, expectations have changed.
You go to Spurs now sort of fearing Norwich and Buendia and Cantwell and Southampton. Or they're a good team. Yeah. We've got to sit back against them. I mean, this team is not built to sit back like Mourinho wants them to and defend like and invite pressure on from Norwich. The crowd have been used to, and the players have been used to, getting after teams from the off. And I think it's very difficult for the fans particularly to just watch a team now not go and press Norwich on the edge of their area and actually, you know, be probably 20 yards further back than most modern teams are. So if Mourinho wants to play that way, he needs to get players that can do it, because this lot can't.
Yeah. To be fair to him though as well, I don't think we've been pressing the way that we were in the early years of the Pochettino era, maybe in the last sort of 8 months of his reign as well. So maybe it's not necessarily his tactics are different, but probably Spurs haven't had the players to play that way anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Well done, Norwich, Jack.
Yeah, it's all music to my ears. I promise to stop gloating, although definitely credit to them Norwich penalty takers. Some of the best set of penalties I've seen for quite some time. Dan, just a quick mention for the other FA Cup fixtures. We've seen Liverpool exit the competition. What did we make of that?
I never felt, not just for this season, but for a couple of seasons now, that Klopp is that interested in the domestic cups. And you're kind of thinking, I mean, I actually went with Liverpool, while I'm blowing my own trumpet about the Norwich tip, I got it wrong with the Chelsea-Liverpool match, and I've tipped Liverpool to win. And I thought maybe it'll go with more of those, you know, maybe with at least two of them front three and go with a slightly stronger team, especially after the Watford result. But as it's turned out, although he went with a stronger side than the Shrewsbury, the first Shrewsbury match, I just felt that, you know, when you're playing away to Chelsea, you do need to go virtually full strength, really, to get the job done. Henderson's obviously a miss at the moment for them. But I think there's a danger. I mean, we'll get onto it later when we talk about Liverpool and Bournemouth of overplaying that. I think that they are capable of playing a lot better without him than they've shown the last two games.
Great stuff. Brian, let's have one last mention of the FA Cup. What was the key takeaway of the last round for you?
Yeah, we're keeping City short of 4-6 in the outright market. Liverpool were obviously knocked out. I just want to touch on what Dan was saying there. I'm not a Liverpool fan, but I was very frustrated at Klopp that they didn't play the full strength team. You know, they have a team well equipped to win a treble, and I'm just not happy the way Liverpool and Klopp especially have taken the FA Cup. If you look at the teams left, Arsenal at 10-1, they play Sheffield United away in the next round. They could easily be in a semi-final. They've done well in this competition in the last couple of years. I'd be looking at them each way. We're keeping City short, but I'd look at Arsenal at 10-1.
Great stuff. Let's get on to the Premier League then. It's the Saturday midday fixture on BT Sport. Liverpool take on Bournemouth. Brian, a show of the odds for this one, please.
Liverpool are 1-5. The draw is 5-1 and Bournemouth are 11-1.
And where are you seeing the value in this one?
I think Liverpool will get back to winning ways here. Obviously, they lost in midweek. They lost against Atletico last week as well. I think Klopp will go full strength, though. We saw that he rested players against Bournemouth, against Chelsea during the week. He'll obviously have an eye on Atletico next week as well. But I think they're strong enough mentally. I think Klopp will get it into their heads that they do need to get back to winning ways before that Atletico game. Bournemouth, we tipped them here on the podcast to be the value team to get relegated last a couple of weeks ago. They were 6-4. They're now 4-7 to go down. They've lost their last five away league games. If you look at their fixture list coming up, home games against Newcastle and Palace, they're probably the only games that they'll go off favourites in. So they've been slightly better going forward recently. They've Josh King coming back from injury, Junior Stanislas as well. They'll probably be able to create a couple of half chances like West Ham did at Anfield last week. But I don't think it'll be a walk in the park for Liverpool, but I think they'll get back to winning ways. So I'll go with Liverpool win under 3.5 goals as well at even money. And just if you want to have a look at a stat bet, just a quick shout out for Jefferson Lerma for Bournemouth. He gets carded nearly every second game, 11 yellow cards in 23 appearances this season. And there's 2-1 out there on him to get booked. He scored last week and he didn't get booked. So I'd have a look at him in the yellow card markets.
11 yellow cards in 23, that's some going. Mark, this is a good opportunity for Liverpool to get back in the groove, isn't it?
I think so. And I think it's quite an important game for them. I mean, they are, you know, they're going to win the league, but I think they need to get their rhythm back ahead of this game against Atletico. And usually you'd think in this situation, before a Champions League game now, maybe it would be a time to rest players. But I think they need to be at it really quickly. And I think Klopp will be demanding, like, you know, getting back to the kind of performance levels we saw before the winter break. Actually, they haven't quite come back from the winter break firing on all cylinders. They usually absolutely batter Bournemouth. You have a look at the last five games, that it's either been 3-0 or 4-0 in all of them. So, I mean, for my correct score stabs, I'm just going to have a couple of goes at 3-0 or 4-0. I respect the fact that Bournemouth have picked up and perked up as an attacking unit with Josh King back. I think he does make a difference to them. You know, he's a quality player that Manchester United were trying to buy. But I just think that Bournemouth are a team that are on a different kind of level below Liverpool. We've only dropped points, let's not forget, in two Premier League games all season. So I think it'll be comfortable enough.
Picked up and perked up. I like that. Yeah, very nice. Dan, we saw Liverpool's performances, you know, near the start of the season and onwards. They were just punishing teams. I mean, it was relentless. We haven't seen that so much in recent weeks. Give us a quick kind of rundown on Henderson then, because I know you were alluding to him earlier.
Yeah, I just think that it's easy to get a narrative sometimes on one player, and you know, they've played. I mean, they did miss him against Watford in that match, but he's not the sole reason why they've gone from, you know, winning 18 games in a row to suddenly losing 3-0. I understand they've not been playing fantastic before that, but there's a couple of games before then when they've lost 1-0 to Atletico, and the game against Norwich when they narrowly won 1-0 when he did play, and they were still off it. Yeah. So I think it's a little bit more of a mental thing, if you like, and maybe they've just, you know, taken their foot off the pedal a little bit. And I totally agree with Mark. I think this is the game that they're going to look at it. They're not going to want three poor performances going into. You could argue now that this game is their season now, Atletico Madrid. They're going to win the league, so their season, whether they can have a chance of getting a spectacular double, you know, could be defined by this game. And I think he's going to want a really strong performance, a fast start. You know, you look at the way they played against Watford and Chelsea, and I don't think Bournemouth are going to be able to cope with it as well. You look at their defensive record, no clean sheet in their last 11 Premier League games. They've always been a little bit weak at the back, Bournemouth, you know, ever since they've come into the Premier League. I mean, they rely a lot on their strikers to get them out of trouble. And I just think Liverpool, even without Henderson here, I mean, there's talk that he's actually back in, he's coming back to training and, you know, maybe, you know, who knows, it might be an outside chance, he might even appear on the bench. But even without him, I think they'll be far too strong. So I'm going to go with the Liverpool's fast start, I expect. Liverpool half-time and Liverpool full-time at a shade of odds on.
Great stuff, Dan. Yeah, Bournemouth odds on to go down with Paddy Power. So certainly a challenge there. We'll be giving you a full rundown on the 3 o'clock fixtures after this short break.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Myself, Jack Reeve, Mark Langdon and Dan Charles join me in the studio with Paddy Power's Brian McDonnell on the phone line. Right, let's get into the 3 o'clock fixtures. We've got quite a few of them, so let's run through these nice and quickly. Arsenal, 8-15. The draw, 16-5. West Ham, 9-2. Brian, where's your money going here, mate?
Yeah, I expect goals in this one. West Ham have been quite poor defensively all season. If you look at the sort of expected goals against, only Villa have had a greater XG against than West Ham. They give up lots of chances, and Arsenal, they definitely do look a bit more secure under Arteta at the back. But still, if you have players in that back line, you look at Kolasinac playing every Everton player on side for that opener last week. Kamikaze defending, really. David Luiz attempt of a clearance before the ball fell to Calvert-Lewin. Kolasinac is out injured this time, but Luiz, Mustafi, Saka looks great going forward on that left-hand side, but he isn't a natural defender. So I think Arsenal will give up lots of chances. I think West Ham will give up lots of chances as well. So West Ham, I think they'll go 4-4-2 with Haller, Bowen, Antonio, and Fornals behind. They played very well against Southampton last week, so they can cause problems. I'll go with over 3.5 goals. It's just greater than 6-4 on Paddy Power. And then as an Arsenal fan, I think they do have the quality to win the game as well. So Arsenal will land over 3.5 goals, 13-5.
Great stuff. Mark, I mean, I think Arsenal, like Brian alluded to there, do have the quality, but West Ham at 9-2, is that worth taking on?
Well, they've won at Chelsea this season, but I think that what Brian was talking there about the defence, you know, I think when you go away to, and Arsenal still are, you know, a big team, and they've had their problems this season, but yeah, it's still a difficult game if Pepe and Ozil and Lacazette and, you know, Aubameyang are playing against you, or, you know, any kind of combination with Nketiah in there. Yeah, it's you've got to defend well. And West Ham still conceded 3 goals at Liverpool, and I don't think Liverpool played that great in that game. And, you know, it's a problem, and it makes you sort of nervous thinking, well, how many goals are they going to need to score to actually win this game? I was looking, though, at some of their players to score, because I think they've got enough of a threat to at least test Arsenal. So I was going to play the anytime market here. Diop and Ogbonna, both centre-halves. If you look at Arsenal's weakness, 100% set pieces. Mm. I mean, both goals against Everton, both goals against Olympiacos when they were knocked out of the Europa League. I think there's an opportunity there. I was hoping Snodgrass would play, but he probably won't. But he's somebody brilliant, delivery. I think West Ham will, you know, be playing for set pieces. And I remember even when away at Man City under Moyes previously, not this time, they managed to get a goal from a set piece, and Ogbonna was like 125s when he opened the scoring that day. So I just think them two will give you a run for 90 minutes.
Dan?
I'm on a similar theme. I think the match result prices are about right. I think I'd rather be a layer of Arsenal in the backer, to be honest. But I just look at Arsenal defensively. They still don't convince me. You got like the Everton game where Everton have scored twice. The Olympiacos, horror show there. They've gone and won at Portsmouth 2-0 with a team, a lot of youngsters in the side. But, it's a League One, a good League One side, but a League One opposition. So the worry with West Ham is I'm not so sure about them, again, defensively away from home, whether they can defend well enough. But I'm looking at the same thing, the first goal scorer market. I'm going to actually go with Sebastian Haller at 17-2. I mean, to me, he looks like a confidence player. When he's bad, he's really bad. When he's good, he can be quite a handful. And he did score in the game against Southampton. So you think that he's going to be on a bit of a roll maybe now. And I'm looking at the price of that, 17-2. Granit Xhaka is 9-1 in that market. Yeah, Arsenal defensive midfield player. Aubameyang is 12-5. I can understand Aubameyang being well fancied, but that's looked pretty short to me. Yeah, Haller, West Ham's main striker, 17-2, big price.
I found a gem there. Nice work. Crystal Palace versus Watford up next. Palace at 6-4, 21-10 the draw. Watford 15-8. Brian, Palace coming into this off the back of a really good win. Can they do it again?
I'm not so sure. Yeah, if I liked goals at the Emirates, it's something I certainly don't fancy at Selhurst Park this weekend. Only twice this season has over 2.5 goals clicked. Over 3.5 goals hasn't clicked in any of Palace's home games this season. It is a tough game, but I like Watford at a bigger price, 15-8. Palace, obviously, as you said there, they've won their last two league games by a single goal to nil, but they haven't won 3 in a row in over 2 years now since the 17-18 season. I just think the huge win that Watford had last season or last week, even they hammered Liverpool off the park. It might just kickstart another little mini run of form for them. If Ismail Sarr, Deeney, Decore, if they play half as well as they did last week, they should. If you want a goal scorer, I'll stick with Decore. I've been following him since Pearson came in. He just plays in that bit more advanced role behind Deeney. He's 12-1 for first goal, 11-2 anytime. Happy to have a nibble on him.
Great stuff. I mean, Mark, I think sitting in Bruce's chair, we need a slight bit of Palace bias from myself. Are you willing to back Palace here?
No. I think I'd probably edge towards Watford if I had to pick a winner. You know, they were really good against Liverpool.
They were, weren't they? Yeah.
You know, last week it wasn't one of them sort of fluky results that you can get. You know, it was fully deserved. But I think the draw of the biggest price of the three outcomes here is the way to go. I'm not expecting many goals. Both teams are really well organised. I think that there's a little bit extra of a goal threat in Watford, which is why if you want, not a lot of people like to back the draw. So if you want to go draw no bet, I'd probably edge it towards Watford. But I think this is going to be a low scorer, and the first game between these two wasn't a classic, was it? I'll go for a draw.
Dan, I mean, you watch a lot of Watford. What are you expecting here?
I'm expecting a tight game. I think the draw is probably the most likely outcome, and you know, and that's what I'm going to go for, given it's as Mark said, the biggest of the three prices. Not been a lot of talk about Deulofeu being picking up that injury. I mean, against Liverpool. I mean, he's out for the rest of the season. It is a big blow, actually. He's been a big player for Watford last couple of seasons, especially away from home. You know, he's a threat on the counter attack. Puts a hell of a lot of emphasis on Sarr to carry that threat and play well every week. Sarr has only played. He's only started 12 of the 28 games this season, so he's got to prove that he can stay fit and play at that level week in, week out. I mean, it's hugely encouraging how he destroyed Liverpool, really. But no, I think Palace as well, you've got to give them a little bit of respect. You know, their defensive record, it's the sixth best in the Premier League. So, you know, don't give much away. I mean, we know that they struggle for goals up top. So, low scoring game, draw a big runner.
Yeah, I agree. I think Palace deserve a little bit more respect this season. Next up, Sheffield United versus Norwich. It was a Championship fixture last season. It's a Premier League fixture this season. Sheffield United 8-13. The draw 11-4. Norwich go off the same price as they did against Spurs 9-2. Brian, can you see another Norwich victory here after on the back of two really good results?
Yeah, two very good results. It's a tough game to call this. Both sides obviously played 120 minutes. They all played extra time in midweek in the Cup. I know Sheffield United made a couple of changes. I didn't see the Norwich game last night, but there's going to be a lot of tired legs coming into this one. So I think it's a game that could take a while to get going. We know how well Sheffield United are set up defensively, especially at home this season. Norwich have only scored 6 goals away from home in their 14 games this season. So I think it could be close. Could be a draw, maybe decided by a single goal. I wouldn't like to back Sheffield United at the price. So looking for something else. I like to look at the half-time results to be 0-0. It's clicked in 3 of Norwich's last 4 league games and in 3 of Sheffield United's last 6 league games. So it's around about 2-1. And I'll sit on the fence for the full-time result. I'll go with the draw at 11-4.
Okay, I like that angle, Brian. Mark, what are we expecting here?
Well, I did most of my research before last night's game. Okay. And I had Norwich down as I thought a big old price. I'm a bit concerned they might be knackered because a lot of players were going down with cramp, and it was the ones at the back. You know, Godfrey was really struggling. Both fullbacks looked like that they needed a bit of a breather.
Buendia as well.
But yeah. Although, I mean, Farker's not a massive fan of Buendia anyway. True, so, yeah. But Pukki was rested. So I wouldn't like to walk off of a potential 9-2 winner. So I am going to stick with Norwich, who I just think has been mentioned a few times already on the show and in recent weeks. They're probably in a false position. But I do want to have another bet, a bigger price that plays on two of Norwich's big weaknesses. One is the fact that they're tired, potentially. Two is the fact that they throw away leads anyway. Mm. So I was going to go for Norwich half-time, Sheffield United to win at full-time. That flip result that, we've seen it before with Norwich and Sheffield United already this season where Norwich threw away the lead at Carrow Road. I expect Sheffield United to be coming on strong at the finish.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Sheffield United are ridiculously good at home, aren't they, Dan?
Yeah, and I just think that with Norwich possibly being tired, it's not an ideal game because they always play at a certain level of intensity, Sheffield United. I know they played in the FA Cup as well at Reading on the Tuesday. He did rest a few players, though, and I think playing 90 minutes against the Championship team on a Tuesday is nowhere near as tough as having to play 120 at Spurs on a Wednesday. So I think they're going to have more in their legs and I think that will carry them to victory. I think the price is still a little bit short for my liking. So the way of bumping it up, I'm going to go Sheffield United to win by a single goal at 12-5. 6 of their 8 home wins this season in all competitions have been by one goal.
Great stuff. Southampton, Newcastle is next. Southampton 8-13. A draw 11-4. Newcastle go off in this one at 4-1. Brian, where's the value here?
Yeah, another game where a team played in the FA Cup midweek. I was really impressed with Newcastle. I watched them against West Brom on Tuesday evening. Brucey changed up the formation there. They went 4-4-2. They had Lazaro and Almiron playing further forward. St. Maximin was quality. He played some great through balls into Almiron. He was very quick and direct. Almiron assured with his finishing. Two great finishes. He was missing that bit of composure in front of goal earlier on in the season. So I hope they stick with the 4-4-2. It will make a much more exciting game than if they go with the five across the back. But I'll be waiting for the lineups to be announced before having a play here. If Newcastle go with the five at the back, it could be a bore game, but if Bruce goes with the 4-4-2, play a bit more expansive, it could be a cracker. Southampton, on the other hand, they've been hot and cold recently. Only one win in their last six all competitions. Again, I'd wait for the lineups here to decide if I'd like to back them. Ings has been rested a couple of times. Gineppo, he missed out last week. I don't know reports of an injury there, so I'm not sure what the issue is. But hopefully, if Newcastle and Southampton play the teams I want them to play, I'll go with Southampton to win and over 2.5 goals. But again, if the lineups come out and Newcastle are going to play defensively, I'd probably be on the under. So I'm awaiting the lineups for this one before making my move.
Yeah, wise decision, I think. Dan, we spoke a moment ago about Sheffield United possibly being a bit short. Do you feel the same for Southampton here?
I do, actually, yeah. You've got to try and look for a bit of value at all times. And 8-13, I mean, they've lost 8 of their 14 Premier League home games. You know, they have a lot of their better results have come away from home. I'm not so sure Newcastle will play as open. I know they play better against at home to Burnley, but an away game, I think if they play open at Southampton, I think it'll actually suit Southampton. Southampton will find it easier to open them up. I think they may go more, revert to type, if you like, and I think that may increase their chances of grinding something out. I think the draw is a little bit overpriced at 11-4.
I saw you nodding there, Mark.
I wouldn't be backing Southampton. I mean, I'm probably a bigger fan of Southampton's Matt Letizier. So, I do talk them up a lot. And I think we've seen at times, particularly recently, why, you can see the potential in there. But you look at some of them home results, like they've lost to Bournemouth and Burnley and West Ham. So I don't think you want to be backing them at 8-13. I'm just going to back the under 2.5. I can't see Newcastle playing open and expansive football. The FA Cup's a bit of a free hit for them. West Brom, more interested in Championship as well, really. So I haven't scored in the last four Premier League games, and that includes matches against Norwich, Palace and Burnley. So it's not like they've played Man City and Liverpool in that run. I think they'll go there to try to frustrate, and they might be able to, but under 2.5.
Great stuff. Next up is Wolves against Brighton. I think you can just play me reading the odds out on loop. The home win is 8-13. The draw is 11-4, and the away win is 4-1. Brian, where are we going here?
I'm gonna stick with Wolves. They're a bit short at 8-13, but I think they can win this comfortably. I'll go with Wolves -1. Brighton, if you look at them this season, they've been playing good football under Graham Potter, but just the results haven't gone their way. The performances are okay. If you look at the sort of expected points table, which you base off the expected goals for and against, Brighton have 10 less points than you'd expect them to have based on their performances. That's the biggest underperformance in the league this season. But if you are in a rut like they are, only one win in their last 14 games, it's tough to get out of. They're only a point from fear of relegation. If Norwich or Villa below them put a run of results together, Brighton can certainly get dragged into this. So it's not the performances Potter wants now, it's the results they need. Wolves this weekend, they've been fantastic in recent weeks. They've really handled the juggling of the Europa League and the Premier League really well. They've a thin squad, but they've avoided any major injuries. Adama Traore has had his sort of breakout season. Jimenez and Jota are scoring goals. So I think this could be a similar result to when Wolves bet Norwich 3-0 a couple of weeks ago. So I'll take Wolves on the handicap -1, 7-4.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Dan, we've spoke about Brighton on this show, yeah, this season, and I suspect that Brighton fans are getting slightly frustrated with the pundits saying, oh, they're playing nice football, but they're not picking up results. And they are, as Brian said there, really in a relegation battle now.
Big trouble. I mean, what is it, 1 point to the relegations? I think 6 of the next 7 are against teams in the top half. They're in massive trouble, and they're going to need some results, against some of these teams in the top half. I actually got just a sneaking feeling they might get one here. Wolves, they're trying to get a third Premier League win in a row for the first time all season. The two wins that they've had, I mean, Norwich were awful in that game, the 3-0. And Spurs, as we know, are just all over the place at the moment. So I'm not going to go overboard on those two wins. OK, you can only beat what's in front of you. You know, that's great. But they're still a side. They've only won 10 out of 28 Premier League games. They're not prolific winners. And they're not prolific winners against ordinary opposition. Two of them wins are against Manchester City. So when you're talking about backing a side at 8-13 that don't win games regularly all the time against the teams that are down there, I think it's a bit of a concern. Brighton, I'm no great lover of them at the moment. I think they do flatter to deceive, but they did draw 1-1 away to Sheffield United in the last away game, you know, which is a similar sort of difficulty type of match as Wolves away. I think they can get a similar result. I'll go Brighton or draw double chance is my bet.
Mark, when Dan Charles spots some value, I see a little glimmer in his eye. Have you got the same here?
Yeah, but it's the opposite bet. Me and Dan might have to have a private wager outside. Now, I think the Wolves are perfectly acceptable here at 8-13. I think they were drawing too many matches early on in the season. I think there was a little bit of trying to adjust to Europa League and you know, Premier League demands, but I think they've done that well now. And I mean, they've got a good chance of getting Champions League, I think. Yeah. I think they can really smell it. I think the big difference between Wolves and Brighton is the quality in both boxes. Wolves defend well, Brighton don't. Wolves are clinical in front of goal and Brighton are not. So I think this is a good matchup for Wolves.
Okay, are you with Team Langdon or Team Childs on this one? Let me know in the comments section below. Right, one Saturday evening fixture on Sky Sports sees Burnley take on Spurs. Burnley 13-8, the draw is 11-5 and Spurs are 13-8 also. Brian, I was shocked to see that Burnley and Spurs are priced up the same here. What's the thinking behind that?
Yeah, well, Spurs were slight fads yesterday before. They obviously played 120 minutes and lost on penalties to Norwich yesterday. I think Mark mentioned earlier on in the show that Wolves went off slight fads against Tottenham last week as well, away from home. So the market really, really doesn't like Tottenham. Their rating is in free fall, really, since Song got injured and their performances haven't been great. Their defence hasn't been great. The fixtures are piling up. They have Leipzig next week as well. So, you know, they're the same price. I'd happily back Burnley ahead of Spurs. Burnley are in great form at the moment. They're unbeaten in six. They have been quite hot and cold, but their performances in Turf Moor have been as good as ever. Seven wins. They have had a couple of defeats, but even in the games that they have lost, I think they've been unlucky in a few of those. Palace and Villa they lost, but they were the better team of the day there. Another day they could have won those. I never like backing against Burnley at home, so I'm not going to do it this week either. I'm going to stick with Burnley to win 13-8.
Wow, fair play. Dan, are you the same?
Oh, yeah.
Are you really?
I'm aware as a supporter sometimes, you can, when your team's on a bad run, you can get overly down and overly negative. But I just can't, for the life of me, you know, make a case for siding with Spurs the way that we're playing at the moment. We're struggling in all areas of the pitch. The midfield don't look anywhere near right since Sissoko's been injured. The defence, he changes the personnel and the formation, regularly. And then we still haven't come up with a decent rear guard. And there's two clean sheets now in the last 19 matches.
Wow.
I mean, that is... And when you're missing, you know, Son and Kane up front, and the fact that they're out, Dele Alli having to play out of position, and he's probably the best option we've got to play, you know, centrally at the moment, but he's not going to be, you know, playing as he was a couple of months ago. I thought he was in good form, but I just can't see how we're going to hurt Burnley. Even players like Bergwijn and Moura, when they got substituted against Norwich, they looked tired when they went off, and that extra time as well is going to have taken a lot out of the legs of some players. A lot of those players are going to have to go again. So Burnley, I'm not a great lover of Burnley as a team. I mean, they do the basics well, but I think this may be all they need to do in this game. They've got Chris Wood. I think he's missed the last couple of games. Come off the bench at Newcastle, he'll probably start. You know, they'll load balls into the box. Spurs probably won't deal with all of them. I fancy Burnley to nick it.
Mark, I'm happy to take this in the direction of a sort of a Spurs therapy session, if you're up for it. Is there anything positive at Spurs at the moment?
Not the overly.
Nice.
Not well. Yeah,
the beer's good.
Yeah, I mean, the beer's pretty cheap, £4
it is
a pint
actually,
for London. I mean, Lo Celso's
good.
You know, Lo Celso's the one player that I think he has replaced Eriksen reasonably well.
Yeah.
No, I despite all of that negativity about Tottenham, I'm struggling to back. I mean, Burnley can win as sort of joint favourites against Tottenham, and if they do, they do. And I'm happily sort of not to be involved in it. I think the price looks. It looks short enough for me, really. I know that Burnley are 6 unbeaten. They've won 4 in a row, and it includes some you know good performances there. Leicester, Manchester United, Southampton. But it was only about 3 or 4 weeks ago people were suggesting that Burnley were in big relegation trouble. So, I mean, I don't want to be backing them, and the market might even go a little bit further, and sort of, you know, they might even go a favourites against Tottenham. I think that there's probably better ways of finding value on the weekend. For me, the draw was the way I was looking at it. I mean, Tottenham have obviously got issues up front at the moment. I just expect them to play quite negatively. And, Burnley are not as enterprising as, say, even like a Norwich, you know. I know if they are relying on set pieces to score their goals, Tottenham might feel they can deal with that kind of threat. So I'm not expecting a classic. I think it would be low scoring, and the draw's a runner, a big runner.
Yeah, fascinating game, that one. Interesting to see what the outcome is. We're going for a quick break. We'll be back in a moment for the boys' naps and also a run through the last few Premier League fixtures.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast. Right, the last few fixtures to get through. Sunday, 2 o'clock, Chelsea-Everton. Chelsea 4-5, the draw 11-4. Everton 16-5. Brian, what's your tip here?
My tip is Everton, and I'll go with them draw, no bet, for a bit of security. Chelsea are a bit short at 4-5. They only have 6 league wins from their 14 at Stamford Bridge. So that puts me off them. Everton, they've been fantastic under Ancelotti, really. They're coming into their sort of toughest spell at the moment. They've Arsenal, United and Chelsea in a row, and they were a narrow defeat at Arsenal. They could have beaten United last week, so unlucky to come out of those two games with just a point. I think with Chelsea, obviously a great win over Liverpool in the Cup. I wouldn't be surprised if Lampard picks the same 11 again this weekend. He seems to do that a bit, Lampard. If they do well in the previous match, he sticks with them. He sticks with the same formation. And if they don't do well, he changes us all up, changes the personnel. And I don't think that's working for Chelsea. They've been a bit too inconsistent for me. So I think Everton even are a big price at 16-5. Happy to go with the draw, no bet, for to add a bit of security.
Mark?
I think there'll be goals in this game, so I was just going to go for both teams to score. Chelsea have only kept 2 clean sheets in the last 16 Premier League games. He seems to have completely fallen out of love with Tomori, for instance. But and Everton carry a goal threat. I think they're quite adventurous under Ancelotti. They defend high up the pitch. That does leave them vulnerable. And, you know, both teams have scored in 8 of their last 9 matches. So I expect goals at Stamford Bridge. I think this would be a good watch, probably even better than the Manchester derby.
OK, we'll get on to that in a minute. Dan?
Everton, for me, they used to go into their shell in these big games. I just get a sense now with Ancelotti that they take them on a little bit more. I know they lost to Arsenal. They had a really good go at them. Manchester United at home as well last week. Injuries are piling up for Chelsea. Kovacic and Willian, went off with Achilles injuries in the Cup game. They've also got Kante, Abraham, Jorginho suspended, Pulisic, Hudson-Odoi, Christensen. Lots of injuries. Everton going in with a 3-week. Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin, big goal threats. Take a chance on Everton.
Great stuff. To keep us amused, at 4:30 on Sunday is the Manchester derby. Manchester United 4-1. The draw 16-5. Manchester City odds on at 4-7. Brian, find us some value here.
Yeah, I have a couple of angles here. If you look at the head-to-head between the two sides, 6 out of the last 7 Manchester derbies, they've all been won by the away team. So I doubt there's many other fixtures that can sort of match that record. You know, those results would suggest that the team expected to take the initiative at home and break down the away team has struggled. Well, it suited the away team, who can sit in, break quickly. And really, I think that will suit Man City again with the midfielders and forwards that they can call upon. You know, we saw how quickly they tore United apart at Old Trafford in the Cup earlier on this season. I don't think they'll win as easily and as comfortably as they did in that Cup game. United have really improved in the last couple of games. You know, I've really enjoyed watching Bruno Fernandes since he's come in. He's on the graphic there behind us. He's really given a lift to that side. That sort of creative spark that they've been missing earlier on in the season. I'd certainly look at him in the shots on target markets that we have. He's not afraid to shoot, as we've seen since he's come into United. He's averaged 4 shots per game. As far as the result goes, though, I will be favouring City. They've had a tough run of fixtures. This will be their 5th game away from home in a row, but they have won the previous 4. Yeah, they're picking up some momentum and consistency again. So I think they'll take the bragging rights here. And if you want to have a look at just at the card markets here, I'm looking at the United fullbacks if they're trying to stop a Man City counterattack. And I'm looking at Luke Shaw. His last 8 yellow cards for United have all come in games that United have failed to win. So he's susceptible to getting sort of frustrated at the end of games, throwing in reckless challenges. So I keep an eye on him in the yellow card markets.
Dan, where's your hard-earned money going here?
I think United are overpriced, and I instead of going overly bold, I go Man United or draw, double chance. I think they've been so much better since Fernandes has come in. McTominay has come back recently as well, so that sort of strengthened that midfield even more. And we know that with Rashford missing up front, they're lacking a little bit there. But they have beaten City in 2 of the 3 matches that they played this season. You look at the prices, and City now without Laporte again gives them a weakness at the back. There's a doubt I'll hear over De Bruyne as well, which would be a big blow to them. And I just wonder, I know every derby's important, but I just think Man City have got bigger fish to fry now. Their season now, the rest of it's going to be about the Champions League. So just, yeah, take a chance on United avoiding defeat.
Do you agree, Mark?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be rushing to back Manchester City here. I think, even in the sort of Manchester derby that they lost in the Cup, I think that was a little bit harsh. I mean, they battered United for a large part of that one, didn't score. And then, it didn't actually matter that they lost because they were in good position on the aggregate score. I agree about Fernandes improving at Manchester United. They are playing on Thursday night against Derby. And Solskjaer, we don't know what team he's picking, but Solskjaer was talking up the FA Cup, and he'll see now that Norwich and the potential opponents in the quarterfinals is a nice path really through to the semis there. So maybe he thinks that that's a really big game for them as well. I was going to back De Bruyne as a score first, taking on board what Dan was saying about he may not be fit. I think if he's not fit, you wouldn't necessarily want to be back in City. But if he is fit, he's on penalties now. And also in the last game at Old Trafford, he played up front. And he played up front against Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And so I think if he plays in that position again, fair chance that he will, then he becomes a big runner. But it's a tricky one, this, I think.
Great
tricky,
stuff, yes. Tricky. 2 nice fixtures on Sunday. Monday night football sees Leicester take on Aston Villa. The home win is 4-11, 4-1 the draw. Villa 7-1. Brian, where's your money here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Leicester, and I'll go half-time, full-time. That's an even money. They haven't won their last 4 league games, but I fancy them to get back on track here. It looks like Ndidi, he's a big loss for them. It looks like he'll be back. He got an hour in yesterday against Birmingham. Vardy should be back as well. He didn't play last night, but he should be okay. I'd like to make a case for Villa, but just defensively, they're allowing twice as many shots on goal than they are taking. And when you give up as many chances as that, they've conceded the most goals in the league this season, it's hard to expect Leicester not getting a couple of goals. Villa were very good in the cup final last week. I think, though, that might take a lot. It might have taken a lot out of the team mentally, if not physically. Leicester will be out for revenge in the semi-final defeat. So I'll go with Leicester half-time, full-time.
Mark, I think we often forget how much money Villa have spent. I was having a read through their finances the other day. I mean, very exciting, I know. It's a sorry state of affairs, and they have to start picking up points soon, don't they?
They do. They do. I think they might get one in this game. I just think Leicester...
Just the one?
Yeah. I'm going to go for the draw. I think Leicester 1 win in 7. They weren't very good against Birmingham in the Cup. Eventually, managing to nick a late winner there. But they're not playing with the same rhythm that we saw earlier on. Aston Villa went to the King Power, did a job on them in the League Cup and then beat them in the return leg at Villa Park. And I actually think that they'll take a lot of positives out of that final defeat. Usually a final defeat leaves you completely deflated. Yeah. But, you saw afterwards Smith had him in a huddle. And I don't know exactly what he was saying. Probably along the lines of the Gerrard, we go again stuff. But it would have, I suspect it would have been, if you play like that for the rest of the season, we can stay up. Every game's a cup final from here on, blah, blah, blah. They've got Grealish that can win them a game. Like I said, I thought they defended okay. I mean, they're playing against Man City. It weren't like the goalkeeper was having to make saves left, right and centre in that match. I think Samatta gives them an option up front. I think he's bit more mobile, really, than Wesley. Seems to, I think that I wouldn't want to be back in Leicester, given the run of form they're on. So Villa to get a point that could be really important for them come the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Dan, I heard a Leicester fan coming out of Carrow Road last week saying, we're in a bit of a rut now. I mean, I'm not sure if it's a rut.
I think that's probably overdoing it a bit. But I wouldn't want to be backing them, certainly, or putting them in Akers at freeze-on, given the sketchy form they're in. I still suspect they'll win the game, though. Vardy coming back, if he does, could make a difference. So I do concede he's not been in the greatest form himself as well. He's gone about 9 games without scoring. But there are other threats in the team. They're the third highest scorers still in the league, Leicester. Villa's defence, I mean, you heard it was mentioned about the shots that they've received on their goal. Well, they've actually conceded the most goals in the whole division as well. So I don't trust them at the back. I do think there's, even with Leicester not playing that great at the moment, there's a class gap. But I think there'll be goals in the game. Villa with Grealish, do usually offer a threat. Samatta, as Mark's mentioned, probably gives them a bit more up front. Good at great header, I thought he scored against Man City.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
So I'll go along the lines of Leicester to win, but they may concede. So Leicester, boost the price. Leicester and both teams to score at 13-8.
Lovely stuff. Right, that's the Premier League done. Let's see if the gents have any other fancies across the divisions. Brian, where are you taking us this week?
Yeah, 2 games in the lower leagues in England. Stoke, I think they're a banker tied to the ACA. They're playing a whole team who were as big as 250-1 for relegation at the end of the January transfer window. They're now just 5-2.
Wow.
They've lost 8 and drawn 2 of their last 10 league games. Obviously lost Bowen to West Ham and Grzycki. Really, really struggling and in free fall. Stoke have won 3 of their last 4 home league games. They'll be looking to leapfrog Hull here, so I think they can pick up the 3 points. And a bit further down into the National League, Harrogate Town, they're 5-6 at home to beat Bromley. Bromley haven't won a game since New Year's Day. 1 draw and 8 defeats in that time. Harrogate, they're at home. They're on their sort of 4G pitch, second in the home form table. And it'll be a shock if they didn't pick up the 3 points there.
Mark?
A few for me, really. So Barnsley, they won 3 in a row before they lost 2-0 at Reading last week. But the manager said afterwards, and the energy they play with, they're a bit tired. So I think the 3 week will have done them good, and the market rates them quite highly. So do I. So I take them to beat Cardiff. I do like Wigan. They've won 3 in a row. That they take on Luton, a terrible away from home. I think Balogun has definitely improved Wigan defensively. I mean, somebody that was playing in the Bundesliga, didn't quite cut it at Brighton for whatever reason, probably because he's not as good on the ball as what Potter's looking for from his centre-halves, but I think he's really improved them. And struggling, really, to see how Coventry can be outsiders in the draw no better at Ipswich. I mean, I saw Ipswich.
Are they really?
Yeah, I saw Ipswich on Tuesday against Fleetwood. Didn't have a shot in the first half. Weren't much better in the second half. They've lost 6 of their last 8. There's absolutely no home advantage at the moment. The fans are, going absolutely enraged with the owner, Mark Evans, and also the manager, Paul Lambert. Yeah.
It's just that 5-year contract that's making it.
There's
smart.
A break in the contract if they don't make the playoffs. So, I mean, I think he'll be out of a job in the summer. Coventry have had 1 defeat in the last 21. So, I mean, if Fleetwood can knock the ball around against Ipswich, I mean, Coventry are much better, than, in my opinion. The leaders in League One deserve to be. Yeah. Can't see why they're outsiders.
This is taking us on one hell of a road trip. Stoke, Harrogate Town, Barnsley, Wigan and Coventry. Dan, where are you taking
now
us?
We'll go back to Stoke again. I totally agree with Brian. I think they're real solid favourites at home to Hull. They're getting, if they get to safety, it'll probably be their home form. They have 3 of the last 4 home games they've won. Hull, I mean, apart from missing Bowen and Grzycki, they had 9 players injured for the 4-0 defeat at home to Leeds last Saturday. Only one of them, the youngster Keen Lewis Potter, is expected to maybe return. I mean, they have 2 points from the last 10 games as well, Hull, so the confidence is at an all-time low. And the other I fancy in League One, I fancy Tranmere not to lose at Accrington. Tranmere had a free weekend, which will probably help the legs. They've been involved in the cup games against Watford and Manchester United, and had a lot of fixtures over the winter period. Midweek before, they had a 3-2 win at Shrewsbury, which was a massive victory for them. Just gets them in touch with the likes of Wimbledon and Rochdale, who they're trying to catch in that relegation battle. Accrington have only had 1 point that they've won in the last 3 games. That was a 0-0 at Bolton, and they received 21 shots on their goal in that game, which is a bit of a worry. They were without experienced centre-back Mark Hughes, who has been a virtually never present for them for the last three seasons. He's out for the season, going to be a big loss for them.
Yeah, it's getting really exciting in them lower divisions in England. So take a look at them fantasies if you want to get them in your Accas this weekend. Right, time for the boys' naps.
This will not be beaten.
As that little jingle said, this is the part of the show where the boys give their tips that they don't think will be beaten. Brian, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Real Madrid away to Real Betis. Betis, they only have one win in 10. They've a really good squad there, but Ruby, their manager, he's not getting the best out of them. If they get beaten here, it could be the end of him. Real are flying in the league. You know, they bet Barca last week, 8-11 away to Betis. I think that's a fair bet. We'll throw them in.
Great stuff, Dan.
I'll go Wigan home to Luton in the Championship. Big game there towards the bottom of the table, but Wigan are actually playing more like a promotions chasing side at the moment. 17 points in the last eight games. They include 1-0 wins at Leeds and at West Brom last week. The win at West Brom, unlike the one at Leeds, they actually controlled a lot of the game and fully deserved it. So playing really, really well. They're against Luton, who have lost 15 of their 18 away games. They've got the worst defence in the division, 71 goals conceded. Wigan to win.
Mark?
Bayer Leverkusen to beat Eintracht Frankfurt in the Bundesliga. Leverkusen, not known for their consistency, but they've won 8 of their last 10 matches. The two games they didn't win, they still absolutely dominated. Leipzig last week, they had 2/3 of the possession and won the shots on target count 6-2, which I mean is really impressive. Away at a Leipzig team that's riding high in the Bundesliga. The other one was a 2-1 defeat at Hoffenheim when they had 11 shots on target. So they're a little bit unlucky to lose that game. Got a lot of firepower in their ranks, you know, Leon Bailey, Kai Havertz, players like that. Eintracht Frankfurt, no away domestic clean sheet this season. I think their defence will really struggle against an attack of that quality. If the game's on, of course, coronavirus is starting to cause some problems in the Bundesliga as well as Serie A.
Definitely. So it's Real Madrid, Wigan and Bayern Leverkusen. As the treble this week, Paddy Power will be getting that enhanced on their website. Links in the description below if you want a little flutter on that. Thanks very much for joining us this week. Thanks to Mark and Dan. Please do pick up the Racing Post tomorrow to see the assist. Thanks to Brian from Paddy Power. You can join Bruce and the team for a look ahead to the weekend's racing. Cheltenham is looming, so it's sure to be a very exciting show. You can join us here again at the same time next week. And if you're gambling, please do it so responsibly. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.